Welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the Seed to Seed message for November 2017.
Grace to you and greetings to you again from Glenpool in Oklahoma, where Bev and I are back home and trying to recover from jet lag. I took a half over-the-counter sleeping pill last night and slept for 12 hours. The previous night I had only had a few hours sleep after we got back in the afternoon. So I'm feeling rested, but Bev had a crazy night last night. So it'll take us a few days to get back into our regular sleeping patterns, but we're happy to be home. I'm not as happy as Bev. I thoroughly enjoyed the warm weather of the southern hemisphere, and we came back to cold weather. Today is our high is only supposed to get up to 36. That's quite a contrast from about less than a week ago in Australia, where our high was 96 degrees. In Maitland, we were able to go down to Newcastle quite a bit and go to the beach and get swims in the Pacific Ocean. There, the water was really cold, but we enjoyed just getting away to the beach and thoroughly enjoyed our time in Australia with my nephew Stephen, and saw my other nephew David, had a meal with him and his family. And it was a great time visiting with them. And the cruise was wonderful. As I said to you last month in introduction, we'd been planning for 18 months after our friends Winston and Julie Tan. Julie called Bev and told her that they were going on the cruise and invited us to join them. And we had such a super time with Winston and Julie. And they're just such a lot of fun. Julie has the same wicked sense of humor that Bev has, and it just made for a delightful time. And so we are so grateful to God for the opportunity of going on that cruise to New Zealand and Australia. And altogether was a wonderful time for Bev and I. And yesterday, Bev was sort of moping a little bit because she said, I've been with you for a month. And she said, I can't take the separation because I had come down to the office. And she just had a call and say, I'm missing you. So unlike some couples that we have heard of that don't really enjoy each other's company, Bev and I so love each other's company. And we had such a great time being away together. So, well, I am thrilled that to this month to have our daughter Tracy preach the message. They have been so busy that she didn't get to preach the message while we were away, as we thought that she might, but she got to do it yesterday. And I know you're going to be so blessed by this message, expectation versus expectancy. It's such a great word. I've just listened to it and I was blessed by it. And knowing my daughter, knowing what she's lived through, and she's just such a blessing. And I'm so thrilled to have her share this message. I do want to just promote a few things about Matt and Tracy. Tracy has a blog, and you can get to it from TracyJoyJones.com, and you can read her blogs. And she also has a Christmas novella, How Gretchen Stole Christmas, that you can read as you subscribe to her blogs. And I know you're going to be blessed by her writing. She is so creative. She just called her mother this morning and said, I've got my idea for my St. Patrick's Day novella that she'll be writing for St. Patrick's Day. So, and she shared the concept with her mother. So she and Bev just said to her, Tracy, does your brain never go to sleep? And she just said, no, she's so excited about writing. And I've often wondered how so many authors can produce a few books a year, like David Baldacci or John Grisham, two of our favorite authors. But it's because their minds are so full of creativity, and I see that in Tracy as well. So go to her blog, and you can subscribe to receive it as she does a new one in your email inbox, and just visit her website and read some of her previous blogs and read her novella, How Gretchen Stole Christmas. And then I just want to say a word about their business, Jones House Creative. And if you're needing a website built, they are so busy at the moment. They've got so many websites that they're doing. But if you need a website, go and check out their work at joneshousecreative.com. And you'll be able to see the work that Matt and Tracy produce. And so, anyway, let me say a word about this message. Tracy did say in the message, and I just wanted to prepare you for it, that Zacharias was the high priest. He wasn't actually the high priest. He was the priest who was on duty, so he wouldn't go into the holiest of all. He was in the holy place when he had the encounter with Gabriel. I just wanted to give that word there, lest some of you who are Bible students say, hold on, Tracy, you've got that wrong. I didn't feel it was important enough to get her to go back and correct the message, because the anointing on this word is wonderful. And so that's just for the purists who might get upset by her getting some of the things mixed up. It doesn't detract one bit from the message and from the blessing it's going to be to you. So enjoy listening to Expectation versus Expectancy.
Jesus, thank you that you're with us. Thank you for the truth of God with us. Thank you that you are in our situation. You know exactly where each and every one of us are. You know our needs. You know the end from the beginning. And Lord, I pray that you would sit on this time today, sit on this each person listening to my voice. Just fill their cars, fill their houses. Lord, fill the rooms where they are. Lord, I pray for your presence to be with them today, that your encouragement and your life would breathe through them as I speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, about 3 years ago, my husband Matt and I, we live in Jinx, Oklahoma, and we decided to put our house on the market. And if any of you guys have gone through that process, you know that there are just all kinds of stories that come out of that process. We'd been looking for about 2 years for a new house. And at the time in Tulsa, the market was just really unsaturated because there were no houses for sale. So you put your house on the market, it sold almost instantly. In the next price category up where we were looking, there was nothing available. So for 2 years, we'd been searching for houses. And we knew that with the minute we put our house on the market, it was going to sell. And one of my biggest fears really was being homeless. I didn't want to put our house on the market until we'd found the thing we wanted to live in, because I knew it's going to sell and we're going to end up without a place to live. And just everything about that was just so unsettling to me. I am a homebody. I love being in my home. I love to sew, and I paint stuff, and I make furniture, and I just I just love nesting in my home, as my mom and dad like to say. And just something that God's put in my heart. And so the idea of being unnested, of not having my own place, was just so traumatic to me. So really, my prayer was just, Lord, please let there just be straight from one home into the next home. So 3 years ago in May, this past May, I guess, we found this house. And for the purpose of my story, I'm just going to call it the Vine Street House. And it checked all our boxes. It was sitting empty, so it was available. So if I knew if we sold our house, we could immediately move into it. It was in the neighborhood I liked the most of any house in Jinx. I loved this little neighborhood. It was just a perfect location, perfect setup for our family, I felt like. So we made an offer on the house contingent on the sale of our house. So then we went to our real estate agents and they listed our house. And so the only problem with the Vine Street house, let me just give you a little bit of background information, not long, I promise, is that it was for under a short sale, which meant that the owners were having difficulty, and so the bank would make the final call on the house. And our realtors, who are wonderful, we love them, warned us, though. They said, short sales can be messy and they can take a long time. Are you sure about this? So Matt and I really prayed and we're like, are we sure about this? And we both had such joy and such peace about the Vine Street house. They were like, yes, we're sure. We're sure that this is our house. Prayed about selling our house, felt total peace to sell our house. So we got everything ready. We got it just right, put it on the market. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, it's sold. Done deal, full price offer. Love it. They want it. They're happy. Okay, we sold the house. And then we wait and we wait. And nothing happens. And our realtors would call their agent. And there was no movement, no word. We don't know anything. Our offer's just sitting on the bank desk waiting. So we're like, okay, well, we just keep waiting, keep praying. End of the month comes. We have to move out of the house. And here we are in our worst nightmare, my worst nightmare of being homeless, not having a place. And we move out of our house. We put all of our stuff into storage. And my parents graciously offer for us to come stay with them. We moved into their upstairs. My husband Matt and I and our three children, Noah, Ava, and Luke, moved into their upstairs. And that summer, we searched for houses because we weren't just sitting there. We weren't just thinking, okay, just in case that didn't go through. Nothing on the market. Nothing even close that we could live in. Nothing even remotely close. And so all of our hope, all of our expectation, all of our everything was really on that Vine Street house, that was going to come through, that there was just a timing. I would walk through this neighborhood or drive through this neighborhood like several, many, many, many times, several times a week, praying over the Vine Street house, praying, believing God that this was going to all just work through and there would be a movement and there would be process, and taking pictures of the Vine Street house during that summer. I took it into Photoshop, which is my husband and I are graphic designers, and so I use this graphic design program all the time. Took it in Photoshop and I painted the walls and I furnished the house and I had dreams of all the things that I was going to do in this house. And the time ticked on and on and on, and we're going June and July, and then we're into August. And the thing about August is, besides being a billion degrees in Tulsa, our school district where we have our kids, and if you listen to my Seed to Seed message from, I think it was last November, I talk a little bit about the transition of moving my kids from private school to public school and what a big move of faith that was. Well, we had moved our kids just a couple years before, and I desperately did not want to move our kids again. And so I began to be quite desperate. Like, God, you've got to do something. You got to move. You got to show us where we're supposed to be, because it's getting dire here. My parents live in Bixby. My kids are in Jinx. I don't want to move them school districts. And all of it just became this horrible tangle and mire in my heart. And I just got lower and lower. And then 2 weeks before school started, we get the call from a realtor. And the Vine Street house, the bank has given the contract to someone else. And the man is from Florida. He's a pilot. He's hardly ever here. But he didn't live here. And his offer was less than ours, but they chose his offer. And Matt and I were devastated. And we know all that information about him because Matt went and Googled him and found him, and he's thinking, should we call him and make an offer? And they were just like, how can this not be our house? How can this have... We were so sure that God was in this. We were so sure that this was the way that he was going to fulfill his word. And then nothing. This wasn't it. The doors totally closed. And I have never been lower, just more rocked in, have I missed you? Where am I? I felt like I was in the wilderness. I went to the pool one day that week and I had put a thing on Facebook and just said, hey, if anyone has a rent house, a rental property, we in Jinx, so that my kids can stay in school, would you let us know? And one of my dear friends, lifelong friends, she called another one of our friends, Matt's and our friends, his name is Jared, And Jared called me because that was the number that my friend Libby gave him. And he called me, and I'm sitting at a pool. I'd taken the kids to the pool for the day because just to get them out of my parents' house and hair. And sitting at the pool, and literally as low as I can be. And the phone rings. I don't recognize the number. And it's Jared. And he just says, okay, tell me about what you need. He's a real, like, get it done kind of guy. Like, just a great guy. But tell me what you need. And he owned some property, and he was just trying to work things out. And then I tell him, and I'm emotional. I'm like, thank you so much for calling me back, for being willing to listen. And then Jared begins to just talk to me and just say, Tracy, God has not forgotten you. He knows exactly where you are. He knows what he's doing. He has a timing. He has a plan. He has a purpose in this. And as much as you love your kids, God loves you even more. And he's not forgotten them. He's not forgotten what he has for them. And you're going to see God come through in this. Well, I am bawling. Just a mess. Just a soaking. Thank God for those giant sunglasses. You know, you were at the pool, it covers half your face so nobody can tell that I'm just weeping on the side of the pool, you know, while my kids frolic in the water and just, but it was such a powerful moment for me because I had gotten so wrapped up, so bound up in the how God was going to do it, that I'd forgotten to be wrapped up in the who my God was. And his phone call was a reminder to me. I am not alone in this. And God has made me promises and that aren't dependent on which house or where I even am, but that his goodness was going to be shown and revealed in my situation. And it was this turning point inside of me because I'd been so wrapped up in the details and how he's going to get it done that I had lost sight of who he was. And the fact that no matter how he does it, that he was going to do it, that he was going to show his goodness, that he was going to be so good on my behalf, on my children's behalf, on my family's behalf. It was just a totally powerful moment in a very dark place. Because in that questioning of the how, like, my heart had separated from who God was. I'd gotten to a point where I felt like he had disappointed me, like he hadn't come through for my family, like he'd let us down, he'd led us into this place, and he'd forgotten us. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like God led you to a place, and then nothing about that place was the way that you expected it to be? You had a word from God, you were sure, you saw, you never would have left home if you thought it was going to be that hard. Kind of like the children of Israel, right? You know, we would never have left Egypt if we knew we were going to have to spend all this time in the desert. And it just is so true. So many times in our life, it's his promise that gets us out the door. And once we're out the door, we're kind of like, what have you done? And I remember reading this horrible verse where the children of Israel are so grumpy. They're out in the wilderness and they're like, you have brought us here to die. That is exactly how I felt when we were at my parents' house. I'm like, you brought us here to die. And I think God must have been like, oh, my whiny daughter, just remember who I am. Remember that I'm good and I've got a good plan for you. Anyway, there's a story I want to share with you from the Bible today about a man who was dealing with similar stuff in a different way. And that's the story of Zacharias. If you'll turn with me, Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start reading at verse 11. So, Luke chapter 1, verse 11. I love the book of Luke, by the way. If you're preparing for Christmas this year, it's just one of my favorite versions of the Christmas story. It's just, I love it. It's just the word, and I just love reading it to my kids. And so, I've been reading through the Gospels again, just honestly, just remembering who Jesus is in this season. For me, I love it, just going back and reading about his life, reading about his coming. But so Luke chapter 1, verse 11, then the angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias. And so, okay, for context, in case you've forgotten, Zacharias is a priest, and he would go into the Holy of Holies, and it was his job. And my dad could tell you all the details of what they did in there. I'm going to summarize. So he'd go in. I know they had like a rope around his waist in case he died in the presence of God. And he would go in and bring the sacrifice into the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctum kind of thing. And so, and my father's probably cringing at all of the details that I just left out of that scenario. So go read it for yourself. I'm summarizing. So anyway, Zacharias is in the holiest of holies, okay? He's an old man. He's doing his duty. He's a priest before the Lord. And an angel of the Lord, verse 11, appears to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell on him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord." What an amazing promise. Oh my word. I mean, not just are you going to have a baby, but you're going to have a baby who's great in the sight of the Lord, that many rejoice in. This is a special kid. I mean, this is, and not only that, the angel is standing in the Holy of Holies declaring it to him. Like, there's no question this is an angel of the Lord because no one else is allowed in there. Zacharias is it. He's the only one who's allowed in there. And God's representative is standing in front of him. And Zacharias says in response, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." So, oh my goodness, there's so much humor in this, but just really, really want you to notice that first word, because the very first thing that comes out of Zacharias' mouth is so telling, and it's how. How shall I know this? How shall I know this? It's just kind of a little bit mind-blowing. I'm going to go into a little bit more detail here as we're going forward. Because Zacharias, I believe this verse right here that we're reading, verse number 18, where he says, "How shall I know this? Because I'm old. My wife Elizabeth is well advanced in years." You see, because the angel, the first thing he says to him, very first, if you go back, is, "Don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard." And I'm just going to throw this out there that I don't think that was a recent prayer. Zacharias is old at this point. He is not praying for children at this point. At this point, he's grieved the fact that he's never going to have children. His wife is old. He's old. It's been a prayer of his heart for many, many years, and it did not come to pass. And I think this whole scripture really shows where his heart had gotten to this. Even though he's a priest of the Lord, there is a disappointment with God. He's forgotten who God is, because when the angel of the Lord comes to him, he does not remember. All he remembers is how. You didn't do this. I prayed a long time ago and you didn't do it. So how are you going to do it now? I'm old now. You've missed your window. You've missed your timing. Have any of you ever felt like that? It's like that prayer is long past. The timing is all off now. I don't want to get pregnant now. Now I'm an old person. How is this your timing? And yet God said, "This is my timing. This is my plan." So the angel of the Lord standing in front of him, and Zacharias says, "How?" And this is what's so cool, because the angel says, he doesn't answer with how. The angel of the Lord answers with who. Read that with me. Verse 20, verse 19 actually. "And the angel of the Lord answered and said to him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings.'" And I'm just like, what? Can you imagine? I've just questioned the ambassador of God in the Holy of Holies. Like, there had to be a part of maybe not because he asked the how. But there's a part of me that should be like, man, I'm glad I wore my rope today. I'm about to die. So, but that is just, it's so powerful because here he is. How are you going to do this? I'm looking at my ability. I'm looking at my wife's ability. I'm looking at all of my disappointment and all of my frustration. And I don't understand how. Your timing is wrong. You missed it. I prayed that prayer a long time ago. And Gabriel steps in and says, Who? Focus on the who. I am the ambassador of God to you. I am the messenger of God. I just came from the presence of God and I am speaking his words to you. And the who is the answer that Zacharias needed. Because it wasn't about his ability to perform or to do it or to make it happen anymore. It was how big his God is, how great his God is, and that this was the perfect timing. And I love as you keep reading, the angel says, but behold, you will be mute. It's like, if you can't say something nice, you can't say anything at all. You will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. There is a timing that God has for the things in your life that are not according to your time. And they're not according to your prayer schedule either. And I'm not saying don't pray about them, because the word says in everything with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. But as you make those requests known to God, know that he is not boxed in by your timetable. He's not boxed in by the prayer date stamped on your prayer. He is going to hear you, and he's going to work his goodness in your situation, but it may not be according to when and how and where and your expectations of what might happen. That's why that's so important, that our faith cannot be grounded into the how. We're not believing God for the specifics of how he's going to do it. We're believing God because of the who his nature is, what his character is, that he's promised to never leave you nor forsake you, that he's promised to give you a future and a hope, that he's promised that he will be beside you every step of the journey, that his hand will be upon you, that he goes before you and behind you. He's promised that you will not be wounded when 10,000 arrows fly against you. He's promised to be with you in the middle of the storms. He's promised, I just read this the other day. Oh my word, it's such a blessing to my heart. He's promised that you don't have to worry about what you will eat or drink or where you will live. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. And if he cares for the flowers of the field, how much more does your heavenly Father care for you and take care of you? That is how we focus in. That's how we settle into the who. And we let go of the what. Because the what stirs the anxiety. And when we have faith in the what, inevitably disappointment comes in and it erodes relationship with God. Because we've tried to box him into our plan and God doesn't do boxes. He does not. Oh, I wish he would, but he doesn't. I want to go back to our story with our house, because there's some amazing things that happened in that following week as we got replanted in the who. We started looking at some rent houses just in that process of being so disillusioned and lost and not knowing and letting go of our ideas of how it should go. But I really started just to anchor into who God is again. And that was so powerful during that time, because we no longer had any idea of the how. And I'll tell you this, if you can keep your heart from bitterness, sometimes that's the very best place you can be, is when all your ideas of how he's going to do it have been obliterated. You are in the perfect place to see a miracle from God, because now only he gets the glory. You can't plan it. You can't scheme it. And God is going to step in your situation. So if you're at that place today, Be encouraged. If you're all out of how, you can't think of a way through, you can't see a way through, but all you know is that your good God has promised to redeem what the enemy meant for evil in your life and bring his goodness in your life. You're in a good place, my friend. You're in a place of miracles. And that's where we were. We didn't know it. But I'd been getting up all summer. I was in the middle doing this massive project for a client. But I had my kids at home, my three kids. And I hate working when they're around. So I would get up at 5 in the morning and work till 10 a.m. And my kids would only start stirring at about 9:30 in the summers. And so I would have a good 5 solid hours of work and then get up, make them breakfast, and try and do something with them for the day, and, you know, so their brains don't rot with video games, whatever. And then I would work at night. So on that Thursday, I got up at 5 a.m. like I'd been doing, and I went and I was getting on my computer and just checking my emails and went to Zillow. Because even though the Vine Street house had sold on Monday, I couldn't get the Vine Street house out of my heart. And I'd gone to bed the night before and said to Matt, "Matt, I don't know why, but I feel like that Vine Street house is in my heart, and I don't know what to do with that, because I still feel like God was in all of it. Like when I get down in my spirit and I get down into my knower, I feel like God's presence was on it, and I don't understand it, but he's somewhere in the middle of that. I don't know the how, but I know he's in it. He is in it." And anyway, I got up on Thursday morning, 5 a.m., and I go and I look at Zillow, and which Zillow is a program that sells houses here in America if you're listening from overseas. And I go and look at the Vine Street house, and of course it's not there anymore. It's got a sold or a pending little flag on it or whatever. And there's a house 4 houses down from the Vine Street house that had listed at midnight the night before. And I'm like, what in the world? And it's in our price range, and it's the number of bedrooms, and it backs onto a green belt, and plus, 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 I'm looking through the pictures, and I start squealing, and I go wake my husband up at 5 in the morning. "Matthew, I found our house!" And he's just like, "What?" Call my realtor. We called our realtor at 7 a.m. in the morning. We're like, "You've got to call them. You got to call them today." And he's like, "Okay, wow, it's early. These Joneses, you know." But anyway, he calls them, and the people are shocked. They said, "Well, we just threw it up there to see if anyone would take." Long story short, we walk through this house. There's a little creek that goes through the backyard. It's in a different part of the neighborhood than the Vine Street house, but just kind of 4 houses down a different street. I walk down the creek, and I start just weeping again. And I'm like, this is it. And the Vine Street house was never supposed to be it. It was always going to be a road sign. And I can see that looking back. I couldn't see it at the time. I couldn't see the amazing what God had for us and the why we were in the journey that we were in. And how often is that true? Man, if you go back and you look at the miracles of your life, how often has the step that you felt so much was God been a step to get you to where he actually wanted you to go? And if you'd allowed bitterness and disappointment and frustration with God, and if you'd allowed that to sever your relationship with God, you would have missed out on the good and the wonderful, amazing place, which was his actual destination for you. And if you've allowed that today, my friend, I'm going to pray with you in a little bit here and just take you through forgiving God and letting go of that, because he has an amazing plan. And sometimes his steps, his path is not always straight. I wish it was. It's not. Sometimes it's a path of trust. And that's why it's not about which step and where. It's that confidence that God is at the end of this path and he is good. You know, one of the things we found out about the Vine Street house, we would only find this out a couple months after we'd bought our house that we live in now, and love it, love where we live, so grateful to the Lord. But do you know that Vine Street house had 3 odors in the time that this same house had only had 2, and each one of the owners of the Vine Street house had gone through a horrific, traumatic divorce in that house, to the point where the neighbors called that house cursed. I had several of our neighbors say that, wow, we've wondered if there's a curse on that house, because each marriage there's been so many ambulances and police officers called to the house. And the last owner to live there, their marriage ended so horrifically, that she, and we know this, we knew some of this kind of going into the house. We knew that there was extensive water damage because she had tried to rip the dishwasher out and without disconnecting the pipes. We knew too that the bathroom light fixtures were gone. She'd removed all of those. What we didn't know is that she had gone into every wall socket and reached as high as she could and cut all of the wires in that whole house in vengeance and retaliation. And I'm telling you, it was one day that a lady was telling me at the pool. She was a real estate agent. She's telling me this whole story about the Vine Street house and stuff that we had no idea of when our hearts were set on that place. And I just sat there, and I honestly, I just got tears again, because I just was like, Lord Jesus, you saved us. You had such good ahead of us. And I was so disappointed and so heart sore in what I thought was your best. And the whole time you had something else. So true of the Lord so many times. But I would have, if I had allowed my heart to get bitter. And I'm just encourage can I just encourage you, friends, today, if you've suffered a disappointment, something where you know you had an expectation and you long to see God do something in a certain way and He didn't do it in the way that you expected, that even if you never get that confirmation, like I did the day with the lady telling me all the backstory and all the stuff that made me go, that's why. Sometimes you may never know the why, but God has such good ahead of you, and there is a purpose and a plan. And if He has delivered you out of something, you may never even know it was a deliverance. But let me tell you that in His plan, He is moving for your good, and He has good on the other side of it, and He is absolutely fighting for you, even if it doesn't look like the way that you expect it to. There is something in that word, expect. Expectation is defined as believing that something should happen in a certain way. It's when you think not only is it going to happen, but this is how it's going to happen. That's expectation. So I might have an expectation today that my husband's going to do the dishes, okay? So it's not just this random like hope. I'm actually, my expectation is that he's going to do the dishes later. Now, the problem is if he doesn't do the dishes. And probably a lot of you guys have experienced this in your own marriages or relationships, or even family relationships, and especially having just survived Thanksgiving, expectations can make relationships messy very quickly, because you have an expectation, not just that they're going to be kind or there's something good's going to happen. It's that they're going to do something according to what you your perception of what they should do. And people so often don't live up to our shoulds. They are free-thinking people who do their own thing, or maybe they get busy or they forget. So expectation is really something that can twist or bring disappointment very easily. And so many times wounding comes in the middle of expectation. Expectancy is more of a positioning of your heart. So if I have an expectancy for the day, it's not tied to one certain thing that I think should happen. Expectancy is this hope of good. It's this that you have a belief that something good is going to happen, but you're not putting those walls of this is how. It's not putting the how on the who. To paraphrase the words that I've been using, it's that you know who and you know he's going to do good, but you're not setting up your walls of how, your box of how. There's a wonderful quote that Edwin Lewis Cole said, expectancy is the atmosphere for miracles. And that's so true, because you don't put parameters on it. You don't put boundaries on it. You just expect God is going to be good and he's going to show up. I was going to talk just briefly about another woman who went through a lot of trauma in moving at an inopportune moment. And that's the story of Mary, mother of Jesus. When she got on that donkey, 9 months pregnant, having to do the census, I'm telling you, I went camping at 9 months pregnant when I was pregnant with Ava. It is not pleasant. It is just horrible. I don't know what possessed me. I think we had little Noah, and he was in a pack and play in the tent. And we were thinking, wow, we're not going to be able to camp for a long time. My husband and I love to camp. We love to just go out in nature. And so Noah's in a pack and play, and I am 9 months pregnant, lying on an inflatable blow up and having to pee in the woods. And it was just so far from perfect that I have so much empathy for Mary getting on a donkey at 9 months pregnant. And not only that, she leaves her friends, she leaves her family, she leaves her security, and she ends up giving birth in a stable. Let me just think about that for a moment, because she's not just giving birth. She's giving birth to God's Son that angels announced to her, that this is the chosen one, the deliverer of Israel. This is God's Son, and it's happening in a stable. Talk about expectations being blown out of the water. There's just, how in the world can this be God's plan? How can he be in this? How can his goodness be in the story? But you see, Mary didn't have the expectation that it had to be this and this and this and this. And it's just so clearly revealed in that beautiful scripture. And I know it's quoted so often, but I want to read it to you, because the angel of the Lord comes to Mary and she has her own moment of how are you going to do this? But then this wonderful verse, still in Luke chapter 1, so if you're reading along in your Bible, it's just one page over probably, but it's verse 38. It says, "Then Mary said, 'Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.'" There's no how. There's no show me the details. There's no expectation. There's just expectancy in Mary of, God, you're in this. Let it be to me according to your word. And that is the very prayer of expectancy for our lives. Whatever the miracle is, whatever the promise is of God. God, I don't know what house, I don't know where I'm going to live. I don't know how I'm going to feed my family. I don't know how I'm going to pay for Christmas. But let it be to me according to your word. According to your word, Lord, that you are going to provide all of my needs according to your riches and glory. According to your word, God, that you are the God that healeth me. That you provide healing as the children's bread, according to your word, however you want to do it, Lord. Lord, according to your word, that my children are going to come to know you, that they're going to walk with you all the days of their life. Lord, let your word be revealed in their lives. Lord, however you want to do it, however you want to perform your word, be it unto me according to your word. And I believe that Mary lived with an attitude of expectancy. I think that she didn't have possibly all the theological training that Zacharias had of how and when, and that it was supposed to go like this, and it was supposed to be in this way. She just had a heart that said, yes, Lord, whatever, however, I trust you. I trust you to do it in your way, in your timing. I've been watching a show on Netflix. This is a little bit of an aside, but you're going to see how it ties in a second. And it's called Zumbo's Just Desserts. So it's this cook, and he loves desserts. And he makes these amazing, decadent, just masterpieces. So he's in Australia. Apparently they have stores. I was just hoping my parents would go to one, but I don't think they ever saw one. So, because really, like, he'll put 37 different layers into a dessert that floats in the air. And, you know, I don't know. They are little miraculous works of art, each dessert that he makes. And I was talking to a friend of mine about that recently. She and her husband had been watching the show as well. And this is what she said to me. She said, "Every time I watch him make one of these desserts, I keep thinking to myself, the God of the universe, the creator, created Zumbo. And as much as Zumbo loves to surprise people, how much more does God? And that thought has stuck with me because he'll put all kinds of things in the layers of a cake. Things you wouldn't expect. Surprises in the middle of these cakes. And yet when they're eaten all together, they are, I mean, I haven't eaten them, but from the people's description, they're like, it's perfection. It's mind-blowing. It's delicious. It's amazing. I can't even believe it. And you would never have put these ingredients separately into the cake, but when you get the whole cake together, it's a masterpiece. And I want to say to you today that no matter what the layer of the cake that you are in right now, that God is working a masterpiece in your life. And sometimes that unexpected layer, that unexpected timeout, that unexpected waiting, that unexpected, I don't understand why everything has fallen apart in this way, is adding a layer to your cake that God is going to redeem into a miracle, into something that is so surprising and so beautiful. I'll tell you, I didn't mention this earlier, but that summer we stayed with my mom and dad was one of the worst financial summers that Matt and I have ever had in our business. I don't even know what happened. We've never had a worse summer. The whole summer, if we had been in a regular house with a house payment, I don't even know how we would have survived. And it was one of those pieces of the cake. Here I am, so wrapped up in the house. Where are we going to live? Where are we going to live? How are my kids going to go to school? Where are we going to live? It's one of those layers in the cake that I only, when I looked back on that summer, after God had brought us out, after he brought us into our new house, that I looked back and I realized, oh my word, Lord, there were so many layers of provision to what you were doing during that time in our lives. I couldn't even take it all in that moment because I was so focused on the one little part, but you were doing so much in the layers of my cake. And the other thing that I wanted to just bring out with that cake illustration is that it's just the perfect illustration because a master cake maker hates boxes. I think a cake box is probably a master baker's worst enemy. And Zumbo, so many times when he reveals his dessert, he's like, I can't put my cake. And they have this container that's supposed to like reveal it. And so one of the cakes, he reveals it and the cage is empty because he's like, there's no way I can fit my cake into that tiny little thing. And that is such a beautiful picture of what God is doing in your life right now, is that his provision, his abundance, his blessing, his answers to prayer, his what he's going to come through with you doesn't fit in your box, doesn't fit in your cake box. And the way you get rid of that cake box of expectation is to do what Mary did and say, Lord, I don't understand. I've built this box and you don't fit in my box. So be it unto me according to your word. Lord, do it in me the way that you want to do it, according to the way you want to do it. And I'll tell you this, we have a life group that we meet with regularly, and my friend Robin, who we were talking about the Zumba with, they're in the life group, and a couple weeks ago, we decided to have a night where we all shared testimonies, where we shared the miracles that God has done in our lives. And I had such an expectation that like it was going to be revival. I was so excited about it. Like for 2 weeks, I'm like, oh, it's going to be so good. I can't wait. I can't, because I know that when you start sharing about God's healing, the healer shows up. When you start sharing about God's provision, the provider shows up. When you start sharing about stories of faith, faith rises in the atmosphere. So I was like, oh, this is going to be so good. We're going to share testimonies. So we get together that night, and it was sweet. It was a nice time, but it just wasn't the like powerhouse, God showed up, shook the heavens time. And later I was talking to the Lord about it. I'm like, Lord, I really thought that was going to be awesome. And I mean, it was nice, but it wasn't just awesome and heaven shaking. And then I started thinking back about everything that people had shared. And I realized that everything that people had shared had two things in common. One was the faithfulness of God. And the second one was that God worked in a way that totally surprised them. And I think when you start going back through the miracles of God that you've experienced in your own life, when you start looking at the faithfulness of God, when you start remembering how God provided for your kids' college, how if you hadn't missed that phone call, you would have missed meeting your husband, or how the Lord gave you a car and you had no idea how in the world you would ever be able to afford a car and God supernaturally stepped in, or the way that God showed you that house, or the way that God took care of you when you were needing this or needing that, or the way that God showed up on Thanksgiving and there was peace in your family, or each time it's an element of, I did not see that coming. I had no expectation. I had no idea. And God showed his goodness. There's something about God that loves to surprise you outside of your box. He loves to do it in a way that is beyond what you can think, what you can conceive of. I mean, that's why the Bible says above, beyond what you can ask or think. That's what God's provision is. And it's because God is the author of creativity, and he is all about creative ways to get his abundant blessing, his faithfulness, and his miracle to you in your life. And it won't look like what you think. Let go of those expectations. Let go of that disappointment. Let go of that putting God in a box of, it must be just this so and so in this timing. And embrace the God who is bigger than your box, who is bigger than your expectations, who is bigger than your ability to see, your ability to know, and your ability to figure out how he's going to do it. And the only thing you can expect is a miracle. You can know that your God will show up. He will do exactly what he has said to do, but like the angel said, it'll be in his timing, in the perfect fullness of time, according to when his master plan brings it all together for something that just makes you go, oh, I would never have thought of that. And oh God, you're good. And only he gets the glory. And only he gets the worship for what he has done and the miracles and the great and the mighty things that he is going to do in your life. Let's pray. God, I thank you for each one of these people who are listening right now to my voice. Lord, I pray right now, where disappointment has set in their hearts, that your spirit would go and soften every hard edge right now. Lord, where you have not met their expectations, Lord, I pray right now that you would expose those areas of their heart where their hearts have become hard. You didn't do it the way that they thought you should. And their hearts are hard. And Lord, right now, just heal and break the power of that disappointment in their lives. And if that's you right now, just pray with me. And just vocalize, God, I forgive you for disappointing me. For not coming through and not fulfilling my expectations of when and how and where you should do what I thought you should do. Forgive me for my expectations. And just let the Lord heal that in your heart, that disappointment. Lord, I just pray that your presence now would come in. Lord, I thank you, Father, that it is not that you are not true to your word. In fact, all throughout the Christmas story, as I've been reading the Bible again and again, you say, so that it might be fulfilled. So that the prophecy might be fulfilled. You say that all throughout, again and again, in the New Testament, that you go to great, amazing, fantastic lengths to fulfill your word. You show yourself good, and I pray right now that you would show yourself good in each and every life as they listen to me. So they just surrender again like Mary and say, be it unto me according to your word. You know, there's one short story that I forgot to share that I want to share before, just in closing here. And that's the story of the wise men. My dad reminded me when I was telling him what I was going to preach on, that the wise men didn't show up for Jesus' birth. I know that's part of the manger scenes, But actually, most scholars agree that the wise men probably showed up when Jesus was around 2 years old. And that's why Herod said, go and kill all the two-year-olds and below, right after the feel-good manger, Jesus has arrived, sweet baby Jesus. Herod comes and kills every two-year-old and below. But those wise men started following a star 2 years before they would meet Jesus. And they started carrying gold and frankincense and myrrh. And you know, there comes this point where Herod's going to kill all the babies. And an angel appears to Joseph and he says, Joseph, wake up. Go to Egypt. Escape now. Because Herod's going to try and kill your son. And it was just this thought my husband Matt had when I was telling him this. He said, you know, I wonder how Joseph provided for his family. So here he is. He's a carpenter, right? By trade. Gets up. Goes to Egypt. How did he provide for his family? And the thought that hit me was that's why God sent the wise men. You know, we think of it as a sweet story with the gold, frankincense, and the myrrh. But God had brought a ready scent, all the provision. He'd started the provision for Jesus' escape from Herod. 2 years before he would need that provision, the wise men started journeying because they were following the star towards Jesus. 2 years before, they'd started the journey walking towards, bearing the provision that would give them all of the money, all the provision, everything they would need for their time in Egypt. And I just want to say to you today, let faith arise in your heart that before you've even had the need, that God has started towards you with his provision, and that he will not be late, he will not be past his mark, that he knows the timing, the plan, the footsteps that he has for you, says the Lord, and he will deliver provision for your deliverance exactly when you need it. So Lord, right now we choose to anchor in the who. That you are the God who provides. That you redeem everything that the enemy has meant for evil in our lives for good. And we trust you. We trust our good God who is always, always faithful and is always full of surprises.
This is the conclusion of this message. You've been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you, and thank you for listening.